Today she is Masecht Baba Basra, Daf Lamed. We will begin Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. Teaches us the Gemara, Hu to Amr L'Chavrei. There was somebody who said to somebody else, Ma Bas Bahai Beisa, why are you in this home? Amle, so the person who was in the home said, Minach Svinte, I bought this home from you, V'chal Tshnei Chazaka. And I've also been here for 3 years. And as a continuation of our previous year, he says that I don't have a shtar, I don't have the deed, because as we learned, after 3 years, one is not expected to necessarily hold on to the deed as long as he has a fair claim why he does, that he bought the house. Amalei. So to which the person who was saying that the home belongs to him said, I was living in the inner part of the home. I used to walk by in your apartment all the time. And the reason it's not a chazaka is because I was here all along. In other words, what he's claiming is, When is your claim that it's not a chazaka, that you have a chazaka? If I wasn't here, but I was here all along, and I was therefore it was not that you established the chazaka. Asla kamei de Rav Nachman, they came with this question to Rav Nachman. Amalei zil barar achilascha, go bring a raya that you were there 3 years without anyone else there, with this person not being there. And then you'll be able to keep the home. Amalei Rava. So Rava said to Rav Nachman, Chochidina, is this the halacha? But don't we have a rule, the Hamoitzim Chaveroi, all of Haraya? So he's on this property. And since he's in this property, you want to remove him from the property. The person who wants to remove him from the property has the obligation to prove it. So of course the Rashbam asks, why are we calling him the machzik? Why are we calling him the person that's on the property? Because he says he has a chazaka, but he doesn't have a chazaka. So the Rashbam responds that since there's no question that he's been on this property. The only question is, has he been on the property together with the original owner, or has he not been on the property together with the original owner? Since that's the only question, but there's no question that he's been on the property, that's why he's in a stronger position. And the Rashbam continues to say that furthermore, that the person who's making the claim has to have Edom that this home was his. If he doesn't have Edom to support his claim, even Rav Nachman will agree that the person who was living there prevails. Because we have a Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter. He could have said that you were never here. And believe me when I say that I bought it and I was here for 3 years. The Rif, however, quotes Rishonim that if the Ma'arer does that, that's actually the Machloikis of Rav Nachman. The Rav is saying, since this person who's making the claim doesn't have Edom, so that's why the person who is on the property has a pesha hitter by saying you weren't here altogether, your claim is false. And therefore Rav says that he is in the stronger position. Rav Nachman says that even though, yes, there's a concept of pesha osa, pesha hitter, and the fact that the person who's making the claim does not have Edom to back him up, since the person who is on the property is agreeing that this property once was his, the person who makes the claim, the ma'arer that was once his, he's just saying that I bought it from him and I've been here for the 3 years of chazaka. So the obligation of bring Edom, the only machlokes now is who has the obligation to bring Edom. And Rav Nachman's opinion is that it is he that the machzik who has to bring the Edom, not the ma'arer, says the Gemara. The Rami, the Rava, the Rava. But we could ask a question that seems that we have a contradiction in the opinion of Rava and here to Rava somewhere else. Rava to Rav Nachman and Rav Nachman, and a contradiction in the opinion of Rav Nachman as well. Dahahu, there was a situation. Dahu damalei l'chaveri, somebody said to somebody else, kol nechse de basisim mazbin aloch. I'm selling you all of the property that I bought from a person whose name was Bar Sisan. So havahi aradava mikri de Bay Bar Sisan. There was a property that was called Bay Bar Sisan. Amalei, so the seller said to the buyer, hol av de Bay Bar Sisan, who? Even though this property is being called Bar Sisan, it doesn't really belong to him. It never belonged to him. It's not in the parcel of properties that I bought, that I'm now obligated to sell to you. It's just ikriyuhu the mikri the bay bar season. It just happens to be that it's called bar season, but not that it was owned by bar season. Also, lo kamed Rav Nachman. So they came to Rav Nachman with this tentaira, and nukma biyada lekeich. He said the buyer prevails. Amalei Rava. So Rava said to him, dina hachi. Is that the halacha? So he says, yes, because I'm mitzvah chaver all of a raya. The seller was holding on to the property. You, the buyer, want to take the property from him. Hamaitzim chaver olav haraya. And of course, the Miri says, well, why don't we just use a different solution in trying to determine? Why don't we just see who is the person? Davim Maidim. We should look at the price. Why won't the price be indicative of what it was? So the Meiri says, a concept that we learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, that when we speak about property, property doesn't have a fixed value. And because property doesn't have a fixed value, the price is not indicative. Moreover, as we learned in Masechta, in different times when we've had Rishonim ask this question, we've learned that the Rishonim suggest that it's not a proof. The reason it's not a proof is because we always could, the point could be that I gave you a discount, or so therefore the price is not indicative. But points out the Gemara, Kasha Rava de Rava, Kasha Rav Nachman de Rav Nachman. We have an hour Gemara with the Shekhune Agavoi. Rava says that the buyer prevails. And in the case of Nechse Bar Sisan, Rava says that the owner, the seller, will prevail. And Rav Nachman, in the Gemara that we began today, Shir of Shekhune Agavoi, says that the seller prevails. And in this case, he holds that the buyer prevails. So the way Rav Nochem Zatzal approaches this Gemara is, what is the comparison between these two cases? It's a situation where we seem to say that there is a chazaka. At first glance, there's a chazaka. And now, with the claim being made, we want to break and suggest that it wasn't a good chazaka. And Rava's opinion is that when we have a chazaka, that's how we started the shir, that is the strongest thing you could have. That's our perik, perikheskes abatim. And therefore, the person who has the chazakah is in the stronger position. And Rav Nachman's opinion is that a chazakah is only that, goes only that far. And since the chazakah only goes that far, if there's a valid claim to say that there is no chazakah, we don't follow the chazakah. Now the Gemara is asking a question. Then when we look at the story of Bar Sisan that we just learned, so it ought to be in the chazaka pushes it in the favor of the person who bought it, because he bought everything that belonged to Bar Sisan. At first glance, this is clearly something that belonged to Bar Sisan. Yet we find that, and we started the shir with a machlok shrover of Nachman, when a person seems to chazaka as he is in the stronger position or in the weaker position. And we're finding here that they have opposite opinions. Answers the Gemara, the Rava Loikasha. The way we could resolve Rava's opinion, the Rava Loikasha, Hasam Meicha B'kai ben nechsei. When we speak about the story of Bar Sisan, the seller is the one that had all of the property. Since the seller is the one that had all of the property, so we keep it by him. Hacha, but in our Gemara, where we started with the buyer being already in the property, and the seller wants to expel him, hacha lekeach kai ben nechsei. And therefore, Rava's opinion can be considered consistent. And Rav Nachman, nami lekasha, kivin damalei the beis sisin, since the seller told him that I'm selling you everything that's bar sisin on this property, umikri the bar sisin, so it looks like the buyer should win. So therefore, it becomes the seller's obligation. Alay the day ramye leglui the lad bar sisin, because if we look at it at first glance, it certainly should belong to the buyer. Aval hacha lohe el de nakat shtara. What would be if the buyer in our Gemara, as we go back to what we said at the beginning of our shir, and as we discussed extensively in the previous shir, chazakah has only been put in place because the buyer doesn't have a shtar. The shtar, the deed, of course, is the strongest proof that this property belongs to me. So what would be if I wasn't just relying on my shtar, on chazakah. I, the buyer, were relying on a shtar. And now this person comes and claims, well, this shtar is false. Me am leaning like kum shtar of a kum v'nechse, that you have to be mekayim shtar, you have to verify and you have to verify and be mekayim shtar. So a chazakah, which we learned in our previous year, was only made in the place of the shtar, and therefore, since it's only made in the place of the shtar, it can't be stronger than a shtar. So if somebody has a claim that the shtar that I have is invalid, puts on me the obligation to have to verify the shtar, I should have to verify my chazakah. And as I saw, the Rebbeinu Yoin explains, there's a halacha, Eidem Achsuma al Shtar, Kamishan Nechgru Eduson Bebezdin, that Eidem are signed on a Shtar, Midaraisa, a Shtar, when we look at a Shtar, is considered a very strong proof. Yet the halacha is that we have to sometimes verify the Shtar. So when we have a Shtar, which Midaraisa is extremely strong, we give the shtar, the person who has a claim against the shtar is given credence, then certainly in a case where all I have backing me up is a chazakah, particularly when I learned the Rebbeinu Yoin, I thought to myself, particularly according to the opinion of the Tzais that we mentioned in our previous year, that Tzais says that my standing here with a chazakah, only because of takanas chachamim, I have to be able to back it up. There's another explanation Rabbeinu Yoina adds. Rabbeinu Yoina adds, again, the basis of his explanation is, and that's the basis of the Gemara's explanation, is that a shtar is certainly stronger than a chazakah. And Rabbeinu Yoina says, what would be that not only do I have a shtar indicating that I bought this property, but I'm holding on to the shtar for 3 years. So it's like a shtar with chazakah. Still, if somebody comes and makes a valid claim, I have to certify the shtar. So certainly in a case where I only have chazakah, and as I keep on repeating, chazakah is weaker than a shtar. Chazakah was only here to replace the need for a shtar. I have to be able to back it up. Hodam al-Khavri, somebody said to somebody else, Ma bas b'hai besa, what are you doing in this property? Amalei, and the person says, Menach Savente, I bought it from you, V'chalt Shnei Chazakah, and I've been here for 3 years. Amalei, to which the seller says to the buyer, B'shuki B'roi Havoi, I was all these years far away, and therefore, I didn't know what was going on. And again,
The point of chazaka is that if you see me on your property for 3 years, you should have been moicha. You should have protested. The fact that you didn't protest is an indication that you knew and agreed that it's mine. So the seller says, well, the reason I wasn't moicha is because I wasn't here. Amale. So the person says to him, what do you mean you weren't here? Firstly, sahadi, I have edim, the koshata have os plus and yamim. Every year you would come back to town for 30 days. To which he responds, yes, I was here for 30 days every year, but I came for 30 year, for these 30 days a year for business purposes, and I was, therefore, I wasn't able to concentrate and pay attention if anybody's on my property. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, Ovid Inish, this is very reasonable. The kol klasin yom atard b'shukah, that a person is busy for those 30 days, and therefore he couldn't. And the fact that he didn't make a mecha is not considered any, doesn't have standing in halacha. So before we go further, the Gemara says that the fact that he was overseas is why he didn't make a mecha is accepted. But the Rishonim point out that's only if he was so far away that they're not shiurus metzuyus. There isn't common travel between where he was and where the property is. But if where he was is a place that shiurus metzuyus, that there's constant travel between these locations. So since there's constant travel through these locations, the halacha assumes that he would have heard where he is about somebody being on his property, and he should have been moicha. And not only should have been moicha, but as we also learned in our previous shiurim, mecha shloi b'fanov have a mecha, that if he would have protested, even though he wasn't protesting in front of the person who was actually on the property, it would be a valid protest because we say chavre de chavre islay, we could assume that the person would have heard about the mecha, and if he's what he's saying is true, he should have held on to the shtar. There are other Rishonim who disagree and say that the issue is not hearing, that they say that no matter where you are, it's your obligation to hear, find out what's doing with your property. And therefore, the assumption is that wherever you are, you will have heard. The issue is, will the mecha travel? And we just said mecha shlebe fun of loyav mecha. To that concept, there's a difference how far from here was there a mecha, where were you, that the mecha should be able to travel or not. Moreover, the Rashbam points out that the person has to say, well, he came home every year for 30 days, so why don't you go home during those 30 days? And so he says, well, I have a different home. And since I have a different home, that's why I was staying there. There's a Nebuke Yosef that uses our Gemara for a very interesting question. The halacha we know is that if somebody misses a tefillah, he can make up the oinus. If he misses a tefillah that the oinus that he was an accident, something beyond his control caused him to miss his tefillah, then there's a din of tashlumim that he can make it up by the next tefillah. So for example, if you missed mincha, you can make it up by saying davening two ma'irs. But there's a concept of oinus b'yoyim achron, which means like this. A person could have davened mincha, let's say this man mincha begins at 2 o'clock. He could have davened mincha at 2 o'clock. But he said, no, I'll daven mincha at 6 o'clock. You could daven mincha till 8 o'clock. He says, I'm not davening mincha at 2 o'clock. I'm waiting to daven till 8 o'clock. Obviously, we're speaking about a place where there is a mincha available at 2 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, which was the time that he planned to daven mincha, there was a true oinus that prevented him from davening mincha. Can he daven mincha, can he daven two ma'irvs? Is such a person considered oinus? Or maybe he's not considered oinus. Why did you wait till daven mincha, till 6 o'clock, and then an oinus came up? You should have davened mincha at 2 o'clock. So the Muke Yosef, in Masechta Bava Kama, Yura Mebeis, in the pages of the Rif, says, Mi shlo yispal b'oit shiesh lo yizman. Somebody who didn't daven while he had an opportunity to daven, His thinking was, I have still plenty of time to daven. I'll daven when I finish doing what I'm doing now. And then something happened that prevented him from being able to daven mincha. Certain person is not considered a mezid. He's in the category of somebody who something prevented him from davening, and he could daven ma'ariv twice. And his point he bases on a Gemara Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba, somebody had a stone on his lap. He forgot that it was there, and it fell. As far as paying the actual damage, we know that somebody pays, does damage. He'll only pay for the nezakin. In other words, that the person, he forgot that he made, that he had the stone. So since there's halacha, Adam Mu'ad la'olam, therefore, he's going to, whether it's a mezid or an oinus, he's going to have to pay. But regarding all the other damages, it's normal that a person should keep something in his lap, and therefore, he, at the moment it fell and he forgot, he's considered an oinus, therefore, he's considered, he's not going to have to pay that. And the same, and therefore, he, the fact that he doesn't have to be thinking maybe it's going to fall, that's enough to make it onus. The same thing here, he says. The fact that he was allowed to put the stone there, and then after, he doesn't have to be thinking, well, what's going to happen if I put my stone there, put the tefillin there, and therefore I have intention to do what's right, that's enough to make him into an onus. And for the other four payments, an onus is an excuse. Here too by tefillah. The person's thinking that he could wait for the last minute is legitimate, and therefore it's considered an oinus. So as far as our Gemara is concerned, the Gemara said that if a person was home for every 30 days a year, says the halacha, the Chashmishbe, Kuf Mem Gimel Amar Aleph, Kuf Mem Gimel Sif Aleph, that the halacha is like Rava, that's a valid excuse. So the Ramah adds in the name of the Namukha Yosef. The Gemara adds the name of Yosef that let's say if somebody was in a place where he can't make a, he can't contest it. And then he comes to a place where he can't contest it. And the Gemara adds that let's say he could have contested it at the beginning. In other words, he wasn't there, he wasn't busy all 30 days. So at the beginning he came, and he decided, of course, I have to say something. But at the end, I'm going to say something. I don't have to say it today. It's the first day I'm home. I'm going to be here for 30 days. And then at the end of the 30 days, he became busy. And that's why he didn't have a chance to make a mechah. Says the Ramah, in explaining our Gemara, that that would still be a valid excuse. So we hear, see from here that even though he waited for the last moment, it's still considered a valid excuse. We see, so you, again, a proof that oinus b'yoy machron, making an excuse that it happened at the last moment, is considered a valid excuse. Says the Gemara, Hudam al-Khavri, somebody said to somebody else, my boss, by Ara, what are you doing in this property? Amle meplanye zaventai, I bought it from somebody else. Domali, who said to me, the Zovna Minoch, that he bought this property from you. Amle atlav komidas, so the original owner says, aren't you agreeing to high aradidihi that you, that this property was once mine? Vatlai Zavdaminai, and you never, and you're also agreeing that you never bought it from me. Zil, and therefore you are Labal Dvarm Didiat. You're not the person that I have a dentara with. You, my dentara is with the person who you say that you bought it from. And Amar Rava, to which Rava says, and therefore, if he would have said, says the Rashbam, that I bought it from you, just I don't have a shtar or chazaka, it would be different than Torah. And if he would have had a chazaka, he would have won that Dan Torah. Now, why can't he have, it says the Rashbam, so why can't he have a migui? His migui should have been, I could have said, I bought it from you. Says the Gemara, that says the Rashbam, a very important word, that as we've been learning from the beginning, a chazaka is only considered a valid chazaka when it has a taina attached to it. And the Rashbam explains that a migui is not a valid taina. A migui makes a good taina stronger, but it's not a taina on its own. And in order for a chazaka to be valid, it has to be accompanied with a real taina, and therefore he can't win this din taira. So now the question is, the Rashbam says, so this person who is on the property, is evicted from the property. But he's claiming that he bought this property from somebody who bought it from the person who is now evicting him. So the question is, can he go back to that person and say, well, you have to pay me back for the property that I bought from you? So the Rashbam says, of course. If the person sold me a property that he never owned, I have every right to go back and say, give me back my money. Rabbeinu Yoina, however, says that he can't even go back to ask for the money. Because what caused his eviction? The fact that he admitted that this property was once yours, and that I bought it from somebody else. If he would have just said that, if he would have never admitted that this property was once yours, then he would have kept the property, because the person here doesn't have any other proof that the property is his other than the admission of the person who's on the property. So who asked you to admit that this property was his? It's only because of your admission that's how he won the din Torah. So I should not be held responsible for you making an admission which caused you to be removed from the property. Says the Gemara, Hudam Lechavre, somebody said to somebody else, my boss, Bahai Arya, why are you in this property? Amalei, the plan is Vina Vachalta Shnei Chazaka. I bought it from this person, and I've been here for the years of Chazaka. Amalei, so the person who's making the complaint says, Planya Gazlanahu, this person who is a Gazlan. Amalei, firstly, Sadi da Soy Imlachsbei Vamati Lizavin. I could bring Adim that I asked you, should I buy this piece of property? And you told me to buy it. So if this property you are claiming was a stolen piece of property from you, why would have you advised me to buy the property from you? Amalei, so he says, because I knew that I want to be able to retrieve the property, and I know that it's easier to win against you in a Beis Din versus the first person, because the first person was a person that won't come to Din Torah, or even if he'll come to Din Torah, and even the Din Torah says that he should go away from the property, he's not the kind of person to leave. Amarava Dina Kamali, his claim is a valid claim. Of course, the Sma points out that this person did the wrong thing. In other words, his claim is a claim that's accepted by Beis Din, but what he did in advising a person to buy a property that he knew he had no right to buy is a violation of Lefnei Leisita Michshol, is a violation of Arur Mashga Iva Bederach. It's a terrible thing, but he did the wrong thing. But the fact that he did the wrong thing doesn't mean that he won't win the Din Torah. And in fact, the Cheshuki Chemed, based on this, says that we've had many times discussions that a person, if somebody comes and makes a claim, you owe me money, and the person who owes the money said, I paid already. And he says, when did you pay? He said, I paid on this and this date. And the person says, well, this and this date was on Shabbos. How could you have possibly paid on Shabbos? You're not allowed to pay something on Shabbos. So, and maybe we shouldn't believe that claim because the Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. So the first point he makes is when we say the claim, when we say this concept of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha, what makes a person into a Rasha? When is a claim considered that the claim is making me into a Rasha and therefore it should not be accepted? Is only if it's only in a case where I'm violating a Daraisa, or is it even in a case where I'm violating the Rabbanon? Paying a debt on Shabbos is a violation of a Rabbanon, of Muksa and other Rabbanons, of not being allowed to do business on Shabbos, but it's not a violation of a Daraisa, and therefore that maybe we don't say Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. Right, however, we most Rishonim are of the opinion that we say Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha even b'drabbonin. But the question is, in this case, even if it's we're going to say Ein Adam Meisim Rasha because because he violated the Rabbonin of paying, but he can make a counter-argument. Yes, I wasn't supposed to pay on Shabbos, but on the other hand, I wanted to pay the money I owed. And since paying money that I owe is also a mitzvah, I made a calculation that I'm better off paying you on Shabbos, even though something I'm not supposed to do, but instead of remaining owing you money that I'm supposed to pay up. Then there are many paiskim that say, even though he did the wrong thing, he maybe would be believe. And therefore, in our Gemara too, even though this person is saying that he did the wrong thing by giving advice to somebody to buy a property that he knew was a stolen piece of property and actually was stolen from him, but his thinking is that I'm allowed to do this because this is the only way, as the Gemara just explained, this is the only way that I'm going to be able to get back the property that was stolen from me. And since in his mind he was doing the right, he was doing what is right, what is acceptable, that's why it's not considered, that's why we will believe such a claim. Says the Gemara, Kaman, this psak that Rava just issued is based on what? Says the Gemara, Ka'adman, the Tanan, the Mishnah, Masech Tiksubis, that Kuf Tes Oman Av teaches us. Ha'oyer al Asada, if somebody makes a claim on a piece of property, and this person who's claiming that this property is his, Chosom Abed, is signed on the document of sale on this property. Admin Omer, Admin says, the person is still allowed to make the claim. Why did you sign this document? Because he said, Hasheni Noichli Haroshin Koshimina. It's easier for me that I should have a dentara with you than with somebody else. The fact that you sign is the biggest proof that you're admitting that this property is not yours. Says the Gemara, no. In our Gemara, afilotem rabbonin. Hasam, it's not just that I gave you bad advice. I did it with Ovelay Maisa. How could you sign a document of sale of a piece of property that you believe is yours? How could you actually go so far to sign? Hacha, all in our Gemara he did was the buri of it inish the mikra v'amr. He gave advice, but first of all, the advice doesn't have to be followed, and the advice is not as serious as signing a shtar. Hu adam dechavrei ma bas b'har ara. Somebody said to somebody else, "What are you doing on this property?" Amalei meplanya zavinte. I bought it from this person. V'chal tishnei chazok, and I've been here for 3 years. Amalei plalanya gazlanahu. He stole it from me. Amalei v'islei sada the osi ba'arta. I have edim that you came at night before the property was sold. V'matal izevna nali, and you asked me to buy it on your behalf. So if you believe that this property was stolen from you, why would you ask me to buy it on your behalf? Amle Amina Isbin Dinoi, I said that yes, it's worth it to me that you should buy the property and I'll buy it on my behalf, even though it cost me money, but I'll avoid the need to go to Din Torah, to which the Gemara says, Ovid Inish, the Zovin Dine. There are people that are willing to spend money to avoid going, there are people who are willing to spend money to avoid going to Din Torah, and therefore it's a valid, he could still make this claim. Ramosha, and the Shalos Chuvus Igros Moshe Choshen Mishpat Chelik Aleph Simen Lamed Zayin uses this Gemara for a very interesting shayla that was brought to him. There was a worker in a business who was being let go, and it was obviously uncomfortable. And the manager, the owner of the business, who was going to let him go, wanted to make it that it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so troublesome, and there shouldn't be a tumult in the pace of the business. And he told him, as he was letting him go, listen, I'm letting you go. Obviously, he had machinery or whatever in the place that he used to work. We, the business, will pay for the transportation of all of your equipment to the new place where you find a job. And indeed, that's what happened. The person who was let go found a new job. He had all of his equipment transferred to this new place, and he gives the bill to the manager of the business that let him go. And the manager says to him, "Mishata nibach, I never had any intention to pay you. The reason I said it was because I wanted to avoid a tumult, and the way I knew I could avoid a tumult is by saying this to you, and you'll be satisfied and leave quietly." And the question is, Ramosh was brought this question. Can the person say Mishata Nibach? Because the owner, the manager could say, part of his claim is, why is he saying Mishata Nibach? I didn't mean it. Because he's not obligated to pay for his equipment to be transferred. So what happens? So Ramosh Paskins, based on our Gemara, that our Gemara just taught us that a person, Ovid Inish Dezovin Dinei. So Moshe says, what does the concept of Ovid Inish Dezovin Dinei teach us? Moshe says, what it teaches us is that people are willing and prepared to spend money to avoid controversy. If people are willing to spend money to avoid controversy, this person, when he said, I'm going to pay for the transfer of your equipment, we assume that what he meant is, of course, that's what he's going to do. Why is it, of course, what he's going to do? Because he's anxious to avoid controversy. And that is an accepted expectation in halacha. And since it's an accepted expectation in halacha, when he then says, well, Mishata Nibach, I didn't mean it because I'm not obligated to do it, it's not accepted as a valid claim. Hudam al-Khavri, my boss, Bahayara. Somebody said to somebody else, why are you my property? I bought it from this person. And I've been here for 3 years. So he says, I have a document that I bought this property from that person 4 years ago. So that means a year before you bought this property, I already bought it from him. Amalei. So at first glance, he should win the Din Torah. The person should win the Din Torah. Of course, the Ramban makes a point saying that now we have a real complicated Din Torah. Because on one hand, this person has a chazakah. On the other hand, this person bought the has a document that he bought it before. This person from that he owns it, and he owns it from before he ever bought it. Amalei, me savrit. So the person who's on the property said, well, when I said shnei chazaka, don't understand the shnei chazaka means that I was only here shtlash shnei kamina, that I was only here for 3 years, that, and therefore your document that you owned it before my 3 years even began completely makes me lose. What I meant to say was shnei chazaka tuva kamina. I've been on this property for many years. And that's why the Rashbam says, It's very important to hear what he said. If he said, the person's on the property, the machzik on the property, says, I've been on this property for 3 years, so now he can't say, well, I meant I was here for 7 years, because that would be 3 years before you ever bought the property. But if he just said, I have a chazaka, so the word chazaka doesn't necessarily limit it to only 3 years. Since the word chazaka does not limit it to only 3 years, therefore, says the Rashbam, he would be able to make this claim. The Rashba is even more lenient. The Rashba says that even if when his original claim, he said he was only there for 3 years, he would still be able to win the Din Torah. And the Rashba explains why. The Rashba says, if you're saying you're only here 3 years, and I have a document that I bought the property before those 3 years, so your 3 years are meaningless, he could say, well, I only mentioned, says the Rashba, I only mentioned 3 years because that's all I thought the halacha needs me to mention. But if I didn't, if I would have realized that I have to mention more years, and I indeed have been here more years, then the halacha is that he should be believed. But certainly in a case where he's saying I've been in more, then the question is, he's saying now I've been more. I'm a Rava. I have the inche, the karl is shnei tuva. Even though he's been here for many years, he calls it shnei chazaka, and therefore he could win the Din Torah. However, says the Gemara, v'hani mili, this is only in the case, as we said, the achla sheva, that he was on the property for a total of 7 years. And since he was on the property for 7 years, then the halacha is that he had a chazaka. The Kodim Chazaka, the high, he had already established a Chazaka before this person Shtar, which was four years ago, kicks in. The Kodim Chazaka, the high, the Shtar, the Hach. Avoshit, if he was only there 3 years, so he never had established a Chazaka before this document kicks in. So the fact that it was sold, but he was on the property. And where was the mecha of the owner? Says the Gemara, you don't need a mecha. Do you have to have a mecha? There's no bigger mecha that he went and sold the property. And therefore, the fact that we don't have Edom, that he did any more than that, it's not necessary. There's a machloikus rishonim that, so now we had to have a chazaka for all 7 years. So the machlokes is, what is the halacha, for how many years of those 7 years that they have to have Edom that you were on the property? The Rashbam's opinion is that you have to have Edom for all 7 years. The Ramban's opinion is that as long as he has Edom for 3 years, he could have said a migoy umchak nisi, I bought it from you, and therefore, even Edom just for 3 years. And the machloikis of the Ramban and the Rashbam really goes back to something that we've been discussing throughout our shiurim, and that is, does a migui help to strengthen a chazaka? According to the Rashbam, a migui doesn't work to help strengthen a chazaka, and therefore he's going to have to have Edom for all 7 years. Whereas the opinion of the Ramban, obviously, is that a chazaka could be strengthened through a migui. And if a chazaka could be strengthened through a migui, so if he has the Eden for 3 years, and then he has a migui, that'll be good enough.